It's Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas, Champlain Valley Game Night on a Friday right here live from First Republic Brewing Company in Essex. We're near Global Foundries, just past the Essex Police Station. It's a great spot. I know it is snowing out a little bit in some places, so drive safe, everybody, but do get here because this is, if you haven't been here, this is the place to be on a Friday night. Whether you live in Essex, Jericho, or anywhere else, this is the place to go. I've been here a couple of times already here. Always fun. We've got games out on these tables. We got Jenga. We got Cards Against Humanity. We got great beer. We got great food from Mark's Barbecue. This is the spot to be as well. There's trivia questions that are being held up in front of me. I remember they're also difficult, but maybe not quite as difficult as today's edition of Power Play. So we're having a lot of fun here. So come on out for the next hour. And we do have some of the proceeds today going to SOAR, which is a group that is really trying to help our veterans when they come back from service. So we appreciate them and all that they are doing here as well. I love meeting groups like that, talking to people who are involved in helping our veterans. So it is fun. They've got great home brewing setups here as well. If you want to start the home brewing process, they can help you. If you need to just pick up materials because you're already doing it and good at it, they've got you covered there as well. We will be here for the next hour. And once 6:55 hits, I'm actually going to have a beer because everybody here is having beer, and I can't have any because I'm working. So once 6:55 hits, then I can have one of my own Republic Pale Ales, which is the beer that I've been trying to get bought today. So again, we're here till 7. As for what's coming up on the show today, Aaron's back in studio. We've got batting practice coming up at 6:20. We'll play the best sound bites in sports, who's saying what and what's going on. Should the Red Sox be going after Tim Lincecum? They saw him in his workout yesterday, 90 to 93 miles an hour. Should they be making a move with the two-time former Cy Young champion? We'll get into that as well. Some thoughts on UVM with another impressive win last night. We'll play some of the sound from that contest and afterwards when we heard Cam Ward talk. But first, the Red Sox signed J.D. Martinez, and a lot of people, or the Red Sox signed Eduardo Nunez. They have not signed J.D. Martinez yet. Repeat, no J.D. Martinez. They signed Eduardo Nunez. People instantly asking, well, Brady, does this mean they're out on J.D. Martinez? Does this mean that they can't go and get the slugging outfielder? I tell you what, the signing of Nunez is a good one, but it does complicate some of those other things. But I don't think it complicates the Red Sox matters in terms of getting J.D. Martinez. I think the guy it complicates things for is Hanley Ramirez. I'm still under the assumption that the Red Sox are going to get J.D. Martinez. I am still of that belief, and there's been nothing that has shown me that that's not going to be the case. The Red Sox are willing to wait it out. I think eventually Martinez is going to have to give them what they want because he wants to play and he wants to get paid. But if you're not playing, you got zero chance of getting paid. So 1-year deal in Arizona or a 5-year deal with the Red Sox, I think we know which one brings more money, more fame, more notoriety, a better chance to win. And that's all in Boston. So I'm still under the assumption that Martinez is coming here. So if he is, then where do all these pieces fit together? You've got Devers at third. You've got Nunez and Pedroia playing second. But when Pedroia comes back, then what happens? Where does Nunez go then? You're not putting him in the outfield. You're not putting him in the outfield because even though he can play there, he's not better than Mookie Betts, Jackie Bradley, or Andrew Benintendi. He's just not. I mean, you're talking about gold glove caliber players in Betts and Bradley and someone else who's pretty good in Benintendi. Nunez isn't playing there. So if you want to get him on the field, where are you putting him? You might just put him at first base. Because you're going to have those three outfielders. Martinez is going to play DH. And I don't mean to flood your head with names and positions, but think about this logically. Betts, Bradley, Benintendi, they're locked into the outfield. Devers is locked into third, at least on a regular basis. Pedroia, when he's healthy, he's locked into second. Everybody here has reminded me, Brady, Nunez was so good last year when the Red Sox got him on July 26th, and he was. 8 home runs. He stole bases. He provided defensive versatility. You want this guy in the lineup. Is he going to be your super utility guy, and you're going to spell one of those guys I just named every day? I don't think so. What are your options? Martinez is locked into DH if he comes. The only other option there is first base. okay? Hanley Ramirez is supposed to be a guy who crushes left-handed pitching. He hit left-handed pitching well early in his career. Last year, 197. You know who does hit left-handed pitching well? Eduardo Nunez. Last year, 324. 324. So here's how I see things playing out potentially if Martinez is here and Nunez is here too. Martinez plays DH, and against the left-handed pitcher, Nunez can slide into first. Ramirez is the guy who wants that spot, but he no longer has it given to him. He's going to have to earn it. He's going to have to hit against lefties because we already know that Eduardo Nunez can do that. I love Nunez the player. I think he's highly underrated. I think he's incredibly versatile. I think you're going to want him in the lineup almost regularly if you're a Red Sox fan. And you can only do it so much by benching your regulars, your top regulars, just to fit him in other places. You can only do that so many times. You're going to have to find creative ways to keep him on the field regularly. And maybe one of those ways is by supplanting Hanley Ramirez from first base, especially against lefties. Mitch Moreland against righties, Hanley Ramirez against lefties? Maybe not. Maybe Mitch Moreland against righties and Eduardo Nunez against lefties. Because Nunez hit 324 against him last year and Ramirez hit 197. Again, I don't mean to flood your mind on a Friday with names and batting averages, but that's the writing on the wall. To me, Eduardo Nunez does not take away from the Red Sox ability to go out and get J.D. Martinez. What I'd be worried about if I'm a Red Sox fan, or what I'd be worried about if I'm a current Red Sox player, and I'd be worried if I'm Hanley Ramirez, that my playing time could drastically be cut. You're going to have a little bit of time to prove yourself, because we don't think that Dustin Pedroia is going to be ready for opening day. And if he's not ready for opening day, then Nunez plays second, and all is well. Hanley gets his chance. But if he's not running with it, if he's not playing well early, when Pedroia comes back, I got news for you. Hanley could find himself gone or benched, especially in certain situations. It's Champlain Valley Game Night right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com, broadcasting live from First Republic Brewery in Essex. You know, the New York Giants have a lot of needs. That's what happens when you go 3-13. You have a lot of needs. They have needs on the offensive line. They have needs at running back. They have needs in the linebacking core. They have needs in the defensive secondary. They got a lot of needs. We got Eagles fans sitting next to me that are just shaking their lanyards saying, damn right the Giants got needs, and we're damn happy about that. But the Giants have a lot of needs, and running back is going to be one of the more fascinating things that they need to address. And I'm telling you right now that if you are a Giants fan, the Giants need to make a play. Even though they've got limited cap space, they need to make a play in free agency for one of two guys. One of two guys. They need to be looking at Carlos Hyde, formerly of the San Francisco 49ers, or they need to be looking at Isaiah Crowell, formerly of the Cleveland Browns. Those are the guys that Giant fans should be clamoring for. And I know what people are saying. Brady, the Giants got the number two pick in the draft. Maybe they'll take Saquon Barkley. Fine. If you want to take Saquon Barkley, then cool. Go ahead. But you're going to need to couple him with another accomplished back, because you know what? You don't win Super Bowls very regularly anymore with just one running back. In fact, the teams that have relied on the one running back system, when that guy gets injured or ages out of being a superstar, those teams are done. Look what happened to Chris Johnson and David Johnson in Arizona. Look what happened to him. He gets hurt first week of the season. Their season, over. Marshawn Lynch leaves the Seahawks. Done. Run of dominance in the NFC. Over. Look at the teams that have continuously made or won Super Bowls over the last few years. What do you see? 2, 3, 4 running back systems. Look at the Eagles this year. I mean, we're talking about Clement and Smallwood. And they had Sproles before he got hurt. And then LeGarrette Blount. And then Jay Ajayi. You're talking about 5 running backs on that roster. Corey Clement, I said that. So we're talking about 5 running backs on that roster. Deion Lewis, Rex Burkhead. Then you throw in Gillislee when he was playing early in the year. You're looking at James White, 4 running backs possibly for the Patriots. You're talking about last year, Freeman and Coleman for the Falcons. Multi-running back sets are what helps teams in the NFL win. So if the Giants are going to take Saquon Barkley at 2, which I wouldn't, I'd still take the quarterback. But even if you take Barkley and you're like, man, this guy's awesome, you're going to have to pair him with another veteran back, because one running back no longer does the job now in the NFL. Different skill sets do different things. Carlos Hyde nearly ran for 1,000 yards last season. And you say, well, Brady, 1,000 yards, that's not that great. It's pretty darn good when the San Francisco 49ers are hapless for two-thirds of the season and they have nothing on offense outside of you. Isaiah Crowell nearly ran for 1,000 yards last year. Brady, 1,000 yards isn't that great. 1,000 yards, in his case, 850, is pretty good considering you played for the Browns, arguably an offense that couldn't get past CVU's defense. Okay? So if you want to get Barkley, fine. You got to pair him with a veteran back. Pair him with a back that can go up the middle, because Barkley can catch passes out of the backfield and run up the middle. Now give me a bruiser who can finish at the goal line. Give me a bruiser who can finish on fourth and one, on third and inches. Give me that guy, because that's how the NFL is built now. Hybrid positions, positional flexibility, more specialized roles. Giant fans should be clamoring for Crowell or Hyde in free agency. And I know they don't have a ton of money. The Giants don't have a ton of money to spend. But some of that money that they do have to spend should be spent on a veteran running back. And another thing about the draft, again, I would not take Barkley at number two. Even though he might be a transformational talent, and he might be a guy who it could be among the game's elite, you can find running backs that when they are paired with those veteran backs, as I'm telling you about, you can find those backs that are specialized later in the draft. Kareem Hunt, Offensive Rookie of the Year. Alvin Kamara played for the Saints. Both guys, dynamite. Both guys made the playoffs. Both guys drafted in the third round. Both those guys are drafted in the third round. I don't need to go up and pick Saquon Barkley and be one back dependent. Look at what happened to Ezekiel Elliott and the Cowboys. Ezekiel Elliott is transformational. He is that good. Now, Elliott didn't get hurt. Elliott's actions took him off the field. But when he leaves the field, the Cowboys aren't as good. They're too dependent on one guy. They did not have that hybrid back, that 2-3 back that could help them. If you want to get in, 802-655-6672. Giant fans, get in on the Town Fair Tire text line. Let me know what you think, because I'm thinking Carlos Hyde, Isaiah Crowell, and a draft pick mid-round that could be, if those guys are the bruisers up the middle, that Kamara type. Find me this year's Kareem Hunt. You're picking high up in that third round. You're picking high up in every round because of the season that you had. Find me that swing back. Find me that guy who can be a difference maker, who can help with the specialized role. If I'm going to give you the bruiser in free agency, give me that next guy. Give me that hybrid guy in the draft. And let's do this. Let's do this, because everybody else that's having success is doing this. Everybody else that's having success is finding a way to do it with multiple backs. I said all year about the Patriots, Burkhead, Lewis, White, give me all of Gillislee. Give me all four of them on the field regularly. I was a huge fan of that. You saw how dynamic the Eagles were in the Super Bowl, because Clement catches passes, Blunt runs up the middle, and Ajayi does a little bit of both. And that's how NFL teams are built now, and that's how NFL teams win. And the game evolves. And the game evolves, and it continues to evolve. So, Giant fans, be on this track with me through free agency. Isaiah Crowell, Carlos Hyde, and a mid-round draft pick. And let's build this backfield together, and let's diversify this backfield. Paul Perkins is going to be gone. Orleans Darkwa is going to hit free agency. You've got total room to retool that running back room. Let's do it this way. Champlain Valley Game Night right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Broadcasting live from First Republic Brewery in Essex. We are by Global Foundries. Come hang out till 7 o'clock. We've got food from Mark's Barbecue. I mean, and this menu is unbelievable. We're talking about smoked brisket. We're talking about smoked turkey breast with something called crack sauce. I don't even know what that is, but I know it's barbecue-based and it's mustard-based, and it's phenomenal. I've never had anything like it in my life. I asked the guy, is that Dijon? And he said, no, it's crack sauce. And I'm like, okay, I shouldn't have any more. He said, no, that's the point. You're going to keep having more. So That is what we're doing here. Come on, hang out. We got the Sugar Shack Melt, maple-cured ham, house pickles, Swiss grilled to a melted perfection. Unbelievable. Come on, hang out. We'll be here until 7. When we come back, the best sound bites in sports. Who's saying what and what's going on? And Kyrie Irving, what did he have to say on Jimmy Kimmel last night? We'll get into that next on Champlain Valley Game Night, 101.3 ESPN.
It's Champlain Valley Game Night with Brady Farkas, only on 101.3 ESPN.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas, Champlain Valley Game Night, again live from First Republic Brewing Company right here in Essex. We got a lot of people here. A lot of people have put in for the 50-50 raffle today, and they've elected me to be the guy who pulls it on the air. So all you people here right now, grab your 50-50 tickets, and if you're not here right now, then you're going to wish that you were here right now. People are telling me not to pull it. We've got to pull it before we get to batting practice, the best sound bites in sports. You know, who's saying what and what's going on. So get those tickets out. It's for $108, everybody who came out tonight. It's a blue ticket. 529-3368. 529-3368. You are the proud owners of $108. It's somebody named Mike, so there you go. We're pulling. Everyone's like, I'm Mike. No, I want to be Mike today. So I want to be Mike today. All right, we got Aaron back in the studio pushing the buttons. The best sound bites in sports. Who's saying what? What's going on? Batting practice now.
Champlain Valley Game Night. Batting practice.
Kyrie Irving, still, I feel like he's on a different planet. Not only is he unbelievable at basketball, he's out of this world on the court, but off the court, Kyrie Irving talks in celluloids and things that I just don't understand. Kyrie Irving was on Jimmy Kimmel last night, and Kyrie Irving was talking about music. And I don't want to stereotype, but maybe Kyrie likes classic rock. I would have thought, like, hey, young, hip guy, classic rock, pop, hip-hop, something. No, what kind of music does Kyrie Irving like? Well, listen to this, Kyrie Irving, number 3 on the kind of music he listens to.
I read this about you, and I think it's very interesting. A lot of the guys were talking about what music they listened to in high school, and like one of the guys said Eminem, and one guy said like Outkast, and one of the guys said, I don't know, whatever, Jay-Z or something. Yeah. And you said you listen to musicals. Like, what musicals do you listen to?
Well, my favorite is Rent.
Rent is your favorite. Yeah. So, is this something that, like, you'll try to play in the locker room and try to get the guys going?
I've tried. Uh-huh. I've tried, but I get the same usual stares. Just
They're not into it.
No, they're not
8,000, 2,500, 600 minutes, or whatever.
520.
Oh, sorry. I don't.
So Kyrie and Jimmy Kimmel talking about listening to Rent. I know nothing about Rent other than I have to pay far too much of it every month. That's all I know about Rent. Kyrie Irving, though, is trying to get his Celtic teammates to listen to Rent. Kyrie Irving is going to be a trip to cover for as long as he is in Boston. That is for sure. Not only does he have the best handle in the NBA, not only is he one of the most creative offensive players in the league, he's also just on a different planet intellectually. Most of what Kyrie says goes right over my head. More on Jimmy Kimmel talking about basketball. Jimmy Kimmel talking about Kyrie and LeBron playing together in the All-Star game. Aaron, give us Kyrie Irving number 1.
LeBron picked you to be on his team, and Steph Curry has his team. And that's, first of all, were you happy / surprised that LeBron picked you?
I feel like it was a great choice.
It was a great choice.
You know what? Jimmy Kimmel trying to set up Kyrie for controversy there. Good job by Kyrie to dodge that. Enjoyed that answer. I felt like it was a good pick. Said it with a smile on his face. Impressive response by Kyrie. Not going to get baited. He continued to try to stoke the fire. And Kyrie talking about, will he play with LeBron again sometime? So give us Kyrie Irving number 2.
You didn't ask LeBron where you... Do you talk to him at all?
Oh, we've talked.
See yourself, is there any chance that one day you guys will be on the same team, not just in the All-Star game? I mean, like, for real.
In professional sports, anything can happen. So, you never know.
You never know. A.K.A. no. But again, Kyrie not going to be baited into picking a fight about LeBron. So Jimmy Kimmel did it well. They talked one more thing about basketball, also the All-Star game. Just how serious does Kyrie take this game? Give us number four.
Guys don't play hard during the game, and if they do play hard, they're idiots. Which camp do you fall into on that?
Well, I have a deep-rooted competitive spirit, so when I'm going out there, specific matchups you want to go at, you know, you want to be kind of prepared as best you can, so it's best to get your sleep the night before.
Really? So you're taking it somewhat seriously?
Somewhat. Yeah. Having some fun at the same time, but, you know, you want to have that I want to destroy you attitude as well. You don't want to get embarrassed out there.
I like that Kyrie says he's going to take it seriously. Look, the best All-Star game is the baseball All-Star game. Why? Because it's played the closest to the actual season. Look, it no longer means anything because they took away home field advantage in the World Series being decided by the All-Star game. And that's fine. I'm okay with that. I don't need it to be that way. But they play it closely resembling the season itself. And that's what keeps me interested as a viewer. Now, the Pro Bowl, people do watch it because it's football, but nobody that I talk to watches the Pro Bowl. Why? Because it's so far removed from actual football. It's so watered down. Some of your favorite players aren't in it because they're playing in the Super Bowl. The NBA is in the middle. It's entertaining because of the high-scoring offense, but I don't need to see only dunks. I don't need to see them shoot from half court. I'd like to see something remotely resembling actual NBA basketball. So if Kyrie's willing to give me even 50% of that, then good. I would appreciate that on Sunday. Also on Jimmy Kimmel last night, cover your ears, Patriot fans. I feel really bad because there's an Eagle fan sitting right by me who now left to get up and go get another drink. She's going to miss out on hearing Nick Foles, who was also on Jimmy Kimmel last night. Has Nick Foles heard from Tom Brady yet about the Super Bowl or not?
From Tom Brady after the Super Bowl?
I haven't heard from him yet. I know he's busy. I know he's got a lot going on. You know,
didn't have a moment on the field after the game?
You know,
the last backup quarterback to win the Super Bowl was him.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't hear from him, but I will say this. As soon as the game's over, you can't move. You can't even like express emotions. You know,
because there's so many people on the field.
So many cameras,
right?
I mean, you have to have a blocker in front of you. I was about to get Jason Kelce to say, "Hey, bro, like, just can you come with me for 5 minutes? Give you a good present. Just block." But
he hasn't sent you a pair of Uggs or anything like that, huh?
I do like Uggs.
You do like Uggs. It seems like that would be a nice thing for him to do. Maybe he'll send you Uggs with a pebble in them or something.
Nick Foles actually showing some personality there on Jimmy Kimmel last night. I appreciated that also. Look, Jimmy Kimmel was in a baiting mood yesterday. He wanted him to talk bad about Brady and say that, he was dogging him and all this to try to create controversy. Good for Nick Foles. He had some fun with it. He did tell the truth, though. He hasn't heard from Brady. We'll see if I think that's going to be not really a storyline moving through the offseason. It's going to be a point of note through the offseason about Brady being a possible poor sport. And the people who don't like Brady have been saying that for a long time. The people who love Brady have been saying, well, you know, look, Brady can get away with it because of how much he's won, even though I don't love it all the time. So I think it's going to be something that gets mentioned through the offseason. Hopefully Brady will eventually just reach out to Foles and we can just be done with it, because it does reflect poorly on Brady and the Patriots. Because Russell Wilson shook his hand after a loss. Matt Ryan shook his hand after a loss. And if Brady can't do that, he's supposed to be an ambassador for the league, and he's supposed to be a role model in the league, if you really want to look at it that way, but he's an ambassador for the league. He's arguably the face of the league on the team that's one of the faces of the league. It does need to be handled with a little more grace and class than that. Moving on to batting practice here on Champlain Valley Game Night, 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. So Lane Johnson created the stir last week on Barstool Sports, Pardon My Take podcast, saying that the Patriots are a fear-based organization. Former Patriots offensive lineman Damian Woody spent a bunch of years in New England. He responded to those comments on Go Look and Wingo.
They treat you like men. They expect you to be accountable for your preparation. I don't think there's anything. I think the biggest thing here is that there's more than one way to win.
Yeah.
More than one way to skin a cat in this whole thing. Yes, people have seen the success of Coach Belichick. Now we've also seen, with Doug Peterson, a guy who's a player's coach, who probably doesn't do it the way that New England does it, but as he's shown, you can win a world championship. So I think that – I actually think that's a good thing for the National Football League.
Look, I love that there's more than one way to win. And I'm a big fan of this, and when I coached in college and played in college, I would always try to take the bits and pieces of every coach that I came in contact with. Okay, this coach – was using analytics. This coach was more about the weight room. This coach was more about getting on his players. This guy yelled more. This guy was more consoling. This guy was more passionate. This guy was more methodical. I tried to take the best of all of that, and it's okay if there's a bunch of different personalities. It is okay if there are different things that help you win, and clearly there are. There's old school, new school. There's analytic. There's not. There's, I'm more of a yeller. I'm more of a talker. There's all kinds of different ways to win, but you are seeing a shift. And whether you like to admit it or not, whether it's the millennials' fault or not, you are seeing a shift in the way that people and personalities are handled in professional sports. There is more of a coddling nature now to professional sports. That's just true. But yes, Bill Belichick's way can win. But you know what? People aren't getting hired like Bill Belichick right now. Okay? People who win can eventually get away with acting like Bill Belichick. They don't start out acting like Bill Belichick, though. Tom Coughlin isn't getting hired anymore. They ran Tom Coughlin out of town, okay? Bill Belichick, if Bill Belichick were coming out today and had never won, he wouldn't be hired. Nick Saban couldn't get away with acting like he acts and talking like he talks to players and assistants if he didn't have that culture of winning behind him. So you don't just start out being that way anymore. You can't start out that way. You have to win and build yourself up to being able to get away with being that way. Don't you see the difference there? Okay, Pete Carroll's more fun. That's what players want. Doug Peterson's more fun. That's what players want. As far as players who are, as far as the old-time coaches, yes, Bill Belichick, Nick Saban, Tom Coughlin, they can do that. Why? Because they have the freedom to do that based on the amount of winning that they've done. And that's how they're able to get away with it. I got people shaking their heads at me here. No, we like the old style coaches. We like the tough times and the tough love. Oh, she thinks I'm mischaracterizing Doug Peterson. I tell you what, Lane Johnson said Doug Peterson's a lot of fun to be around. And I don't see Doug Peterson yelling a whole lot. But it's easy to have fun when you're winning Super Bowls. If they were 5-11, maybe he'd be this mean, gruffy guy. Who knows about that? We'd have to. Do you want to find out next year if he's mean and gruffy if they're 5-11? It's a culture that he develops, they're telling me. See, I like this interaction. I don't know who needs the Town Fair Tire text line at the moment. I've just got the First Republic Brewing Company guest line right here. So
give her a mic.
This is a lot of fun. No, this is a lot of fun, guys. I appreciate the feedback and the response. But again, I'm telling you that player, there is a shift here. And Damian Woody came in at the time when Bill Belichick had won a couple of Super Bowls, so it's okay for him to be that way. You can't be a jerk without having won. You can't act that way without having won. Why did Dave Gettleman, GM now of the Giants, get run out of town in Carolina? He was tough to deal with, and he hadn't won. If he had been winning, maybe he wouldn't be as tough to deal with. Champlain Valley Game Night here. Let's move on to baseball. Alex Cora talking about his new job with the Red Sox and their big battle brewing with the Yankees in the AL East.
We know what it's all about, and we have good teams. We're fighting for the same thing. You know, we have our goals, and it's way up there. It's not only to win the division, it's to win the World Series. We understand the rivalry. It's big for baseball, and ready for them.
Alex Cora talking about the rivalry with the Yankees. And, man, I tell you what, because I'm not a Yankee or a Red Sox fan, I don't get all bought into the rivalry. I don't get all hyped up with the rivalry. I don't get all bent out of shape about the rivalry and who's sweeping who. And it doesn't matter to me all that much. Until something happens on the field, it doesn't matter to me all that much. We got the Essex Middle School basketball team here, ADL. They want a shout-out, and they're not going to leave the speaker until they get it. So congratulations. You guys won recently, so we got the ADL middle school team here, so the feeder program at Essex High School. So congratulations. So we appreciate you guys coming out today also. It got deathly quiet in here all of a sudden. Everybody, give them another round of applause. Again, we're here at First Republic Brewing Company, Champlain Valley Game Night. As far as the Red Sox and Yankees goes, again, I don't get all bent out of shape about the rivalry, but this is going to be one of the most exciting things for baseball this year. Judge and Stanton, Sale and hopefully a healthy Price, two new managers, Cora and Boone. It's going to be a blast. You got young, exciting players. You've got Benintendi. You've got Sanchez. You've got Judge. You've got newcomers to the rivalry like Stanton. You've got the killer bees in the outfield for the Red Sox and Betts, Bradley Benintendi, and then you've got two electrifying closers in Chapman and Kimbrel. The Yankees with the dominant bullpen, the Red Sox with the better starting rotation. I cannot wait for March 29th. All right, last one, Hanley Ramirez. What did he do this offseason to get in shape for the Sox?
More bands, you know. I went on the Tom Brady side, you know. So I think he's 100%, you know, everything he's saying in the book and the work he does, it makes sense, a lot of sense.
Are you following his book, or did you visit Dallas?
I am. You know, I read his book, and, you know, it's working for me. You know, because what can work for me cannot work for you, so it's working for me.
Tom Brady's book, The TB12 Method, is now being used by Red Sox first baseman D.H. Hanley Ramirez. The TB12 Method is everywhere. So Hanley Ramirez is using Tom's book. And I'll say this about Hanley Ramirez. We talked about him earlier, potentially being displaced a little bit by the acquisition of Eduardo Nunez. If things shake out right with J.D. Martinez, Hanley Ramirez stands to me to be the guy to lose the most amount of playing time. Hanley Ramirez, to me, is not the most important member of the Red Sox this season. He is the most intriguing member of the Red Sox to me this year, because if he is right, if he's healthy for the first time in a year and a half, last year he played that whole year with a shoulder injury. If he's healthy, think of what he could do for the Red Sox. Red Sox had no player hit more than 25 home runs last season. Nelson Cruz and Giancarlo Stanton hit more home runs after July 1st than any Red Sox player hit all season last year. Think about that. If Hanley Ramirez is right and healthy, maybe he hits you 28. Maybe he hits you 32. Maybe he is the guy that you signed a couple of years ago again. He's incredibly intriguing because he's such an unknown. I have no idea. Is he going to hit the 500 plate appearances that he needs to get his contract to vest? Are they going to deliberately not play him as much this season so that he won't hit that 500 at-bat plateau and he'll be a free agent at the end of the year and they'll be off the hook for the money? Will he hit 30 home runs and be healthy? Can he play first base again? Will he play every day? Will he platoon with Mitch Moreland? Will Nunez take his spot? What will Martinez's impact on him at DH be if Martinez is there? Those are all questions that remain to be seen, and I think Hanley Ramirez is the guy with one of the most amount of unknown questions around him in that Red Sox organization right now. I know what Chris Sale is going to give me for the most part. I'd like to see him do it in the second half of the season. That's an unknown at the moment, but it's not as much as an unknown as there is anything about Hanley. Literally nothing about Hanley is known right now. I have no idea. Is he hitting 200 against lefties again, or is he going to be the player that we think he is against lefties or that he's been in his career? 30 home runs or 13 home runs? 287 or 237? 600 at-bats? 300 at-bats? Vesting option, coming back next year already or not coming back in 2019? He seems to be a guy on the Red Sox who has some fun. He's one of the few guys on that team with a personality, according to WEEI Radio. Is he going to be that way? How does he connect with Alex Cora? Is he a mentor for the young players? Because he was the one that they were counting on last year to be there for Rafael Devers. What does he do this year? Does he end up like Pablo Sandoval and be a roster casualty come July? I don't know any of this stuff, and that's why I am so intrigued by what is going to become of Hanley Ramirez this season. There's so much promise and so much possibility, but there is also the potential for a high risk of failure. Again, no idea what happens with Hanley this year. He is not the most important player on the Red Sox. Betts, Benintendi, Devers, Martinez if he's there, Kimbrel, Sale, Price, Porcello. I just listed 10 players more important to the Red Sox than Hanley Ramirez, but none of them are as intriguing going into 2018, going into March 29th's opener against the Tampa Rays, than said Hanley Ramirez. Champlain Valley Game Night live for the First Republic Brewing Company in Essex. Come with us, hang out. This place is open till 8. We'll be here till 7 doing the show. We'll be hanging out after. You can come get the Republic Pale Ale, which is the beer that I've been calling for all day. Arnie had the Cotton Webs, which is a blood orange blonde. Rich had the Kolsch, which is a light beer. All of them are great. I've had them all at various times over the last few months. We've got great food from Mark's Barbecue. They'll even deliver their food here, so that way you can get your food delivered here and then have your beer here. You talk about date night. We got all kinds of stuff. People are buying the Republic Pale Ale, I hope, right? People are buying it. The people at the bar are telling me that my choice has been very popular today. So we appreciate anyone who's come out and anyone who continues to come out. When we come back, there's a free agent starter on the market whose name you might have forgotten about. The Red Sox better not have forgotten, and they better be making a phone call. That's next, Champlain Valley Game Night, 101.3 ESPN.
It's Champlain Valley Game Night with Brady Farkas, only on 101.3 ESPN.
Final segment on a Friday, Champlain Valley Game Night right here, 101.3 ESPN at 101.3ESPN.com. What a day this has been. Jeremy Schapp of ESPN joined us. Steve Levy of ESPN joined us. We're out at the First Republic Brewery. We've had great food from Mark's Barbecue. A great crowd here that's still going strong, even though, look, close at 8. This place is still legitimately packed with an hour and 15 minutes to go. So you still got time to come in and start off your weekend right and responsibly. So come on and hang out with us. You know, Tim Lincecum is a name that the Red Sox should be making a call on. Tim Lincecum, the two-time Cy Young winner, is 33 years old, and he's looking to make a comeback. Now, he was here in 2016, and he came back half of the year, played with the Angels, was terrible, pitched to an ERA of over 7, was out all of last season, did not play. But Tim Lincecum had a workout yesterday, and the Red Sox were at it. The Red Sox were there. They were one of 20 teams there to see Lincecum pitch in the Seattle area. 90 to 93 miles an hour, the two-time former Cy Young winner and multi-time world champion sat. The Boston Red Sox should be looking at him as a potential rotation piece, because here's what I know about the Red Sox right now. I know 1 through 4. Chris Sale, David Price, Drew Pomeranz, and Rick Porcello. 1 through 4 I know right now. But number 5, Eduardo Rodriguez is hurt. He's out till probably June. Steven Wright missed all of last season with injury. Can I count on him? I don't know. I tell you what I'd like to see is Tim Lincecum get an opportunity to be that fifth starter. Now, I know Lincecum probably wants a major league deal. He's probably not looking at a minor league deal. Can I guarantee that he's my fifth starter? I think I can right now. And if he pitches well, he keeps that spot for me all year. That gives me arguably, you know, a top half number 5 rotation guy that nobody else has. I know that Tim Lincecum hasn't been the same for about 5 years now. I know that he was gone almost as quickly as the freak came. I get that. But now he's been away from the game essentially for 2.5 of the last 3 years. I wanted the Red Sox, I remember this, right before Black Friday back in November, we said, okay, who are the bargain basement options that you would want to see the Red Sox go after? And I remember specifically talking about Chris Tillman of the Orioles. He is a free agent. He was terrible a season ago. He's been off injured over the last few years. But before that, had a pretty reputable track record. I wanted the Red Sox to take a chance on him and let him be their fifth starter and see what was there. If I'm calling for the Red Sox to go after Chris Tillman, why wouldn't I ask the Red Sox to go after Tim Lincecum? Because they've got essentially the same resume, the same story. Injured, ineffective over the last year and a half, 2 years, but a good pedigree. And Lincecum's pedigree is a hell of a lot better and more impressive than Chris Tillman's. We're talking 2 Cy Youngs. We're talking the ace on multiple World Series championship teams for the San Francisco Giants. If you can get Lincecum at a reasonable deal, and I have to imagine that you could, I don't know, 1 year, $4 million? 1 year, $5 million? Take the flyer on it? I would do that in a heartbeat. If you're going to tell me he's 90 to 93, he's bulked up 15 pounds from the last time we saw him in 2016, his arm is fresh because he sat out all of last season and most of 2016, then give me a shot at it. Because I think I know my top 4 pretty well. I don't know number 5 at all. I have zero clue as to what number 5 is going to bring me. Rodriguez isn't pitching for a while, and Wright missed all of last season. If you can get me Tim Lincecum at a reasonable price on the bargain floor, two-time Cy Young winner, still under 35 years old. Absolutely sign me up. Champlain Valley Game Night, 101.3 ESPN. How about the UVM men's basketball team? I think now they have won under pretty much every circumstance that you could win under. They've won at home. They've won on the road. They've won in neutral sites. They've won a tournament, winning the Island of the Bahamas Showcase. They have won when coming from behind. They got down 17 against Albany. They got down 13 against UMass Lowell. They won both of those. They've won when racing out to a big lead and not looking back like they did when they played Dartmouth. And they completed it last night. They won when they were in foul trouble, didn't play all that well. They were 9 of, 26 from 3 last night. It's not very UVM-like. Trayvel Haynes was constantly in foul trouble. That's not him. They won with injury. Anthony Lamb out. Ernie Duncan didn't play yesterday again because of concussion symptoms. They've won under all the adversity that you can win under. And they keep finding ways. That is the mark of how special UVM is right now. And really, what said it all to me was after the game. Right here on this station, our own Sam Hyman was talking with Cam Ward, who led the team with 14 points. This is a reserve, who started in place of Ernie Duncan, made just the sixth start of his career. Cam Ward, a reserve, 14 points, led the team. This is what he said after the game, and this is what's so telling about UVM. Aaron, give us Cam Ward, number one.
We have one of the best staff I've ever been a part of, and it's just great to be around those guys and get better every day, and they make us want to play hard. So
they make us want to play hard. Let me tell you about the mindset of college athletes. College athletes oftentimes resent their coach. They resent their sport at times, and it's hard to think that way because, man, how could you resent it? Well, your coach is the one that's not playing you. Your team, your sport might be the reason why you're not doing as well in school, or might be the reason why you're so stressed out in school. Your constant being away from the rest of the campus community could cost you a relationship. There's a lot of great things that sports brings you. Sports also, at the college level, at that level, can be a detriment at times. Sports is the reason why you don't sleep well, because you are riding on uncomfortable buses. Sports is the reason why you're not getting any sleep, because you're up at 6 a.m. going to workouts. As much as I love it, I understand there are drawbacks to it. And Cam Ward is here telling you that three-fourths of the way through the season, our coaches inspire us and make us want to play hard. That's not only cool, that's rare. And UVM has it. You talk about the culture being correct. You talk about the culture being built and the culture being sustainable. That is darn impressive what UVM has right now. Darn impressive what UVM has right here. All right, that will do it for us here from First Republic Brewery in Essex. Hey, tomorrow we got Sports Saturday, 10 a.m. Aaron, you're the producer of Sports Saturday. What we got tomorrow with Jeff Paul and the crew and you?
Well, hold on.
Mike Ruzioni is joining the show. I mean,
yeah.
That's all you have to say.
Yeah.
Mike Ruzioni, the captain of the 1980 Miracle on Ice team, he is joining the show tomorrow on Sports Saturday. He's going to be joining that show at 11 a.m., I believe Jeff told me.
He switched it to 10. He's leading off the show. I'm not going to lie. I wasn't sure how to pronounce his last name, so I was tiptoeing around that one.
Mike Ruzioni, 10 a.m. tomorrow on Sports Saturday, the captain of the Miracle on Ice team. So you're going to want to tune in on 101.3 ESPN. The boys will also talk about spring training. I know they'll go to Yankees camp. And Bernie's out tomorrow, so Jack Cordy of NBC5 is going to be filling in with Jeff and with Aaron as well. Thank you to everybody here at First Republic Brewery. We thank you for having us. Thank you to the people at Mark's Barbecue. Thanks to Steve Levy for joining us. Thank you to Jeremy Schaap. They'll be online at 1013ESPN.com. We're back on Monday. We'll talk with the Pro Football Hall of Famer and former Patriot Mike Haynes. It's 1013 ESPN.